Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Our word for 2024, see, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. We're hanging on to the word open door for 2024. We've already seen some doors open this year, but we're not just believing for these church doors to open, we're believing that doors are gonna open in your life, doors of health, doors of healing, doors of restoration, doors of reconciliation. We're believing this is the year of the open door. So Father God, we come into your presence with a sense of thanksgiving for what you've done, Father. We're not boasting in ourselves, we're boasting in the things of God. And what you are doing, Father, we are blown away, Father, by the salvations, the baptisms, Father. Lord, but we don't want to lose what we have, Father. So I pray, Lord, you would help us navigate this journey as we head into this revival season, Lord. I pray for every individual in this service who does not know you as their personal Savior, that today they would bend the knee to Jesus and receive you, Father God, as their Savior. We thank you for what you're about to do. And a faith-filled church said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God some praise. Welcome online to all of our community. Everyone, you can take your seats. Quick recap. 2 weeks ago, I started a mini-series called Trapdoors, and then J. John interrupted me. And we are looking at how the enemy loves to distort God's word and God's ways. His main tactic is he takes God's word. What is God's word? I have set before you an open door. So what the enemy does is he tries to set his own doors in front of us. We're calling these trap doors. And our challenge is to recognize what is an open door from God and what is a trap door from the enemy. Has anyone ever walked through a door and you thought it was from God and actually it ended up being a dead end? It ended up being a door that you shouldn't have walked through. Stop looking at your spouse. No, I'm kidding. Matthew 16:23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me." The enemy loves to set trap doors for God's children. And the outcome of the trap door, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, is peaceless, powerless, and paralyzed. That's how the enemy wants us to live. Peaceless, powerless, and paralyzed. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We're seeing this around us in culture. We're seeing it around us in society, how society is peaceless, it's powerless, and it's paralyzed. So we're unpacking some of these trap doors over the next few weeks. First week, we looked at the trap door of offense. We looked at our three defenses for offense. First defense, quick recap, is I refuse to allow the enemy to steal my peace. Defense number two, I am forgiven so I can forgive. Why does the Bible allow us to forgive others? Because we've been forgiven. Defense number three, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very hard to get over an offense or forgive someone without the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus. Now, if you thought 2 weeks ago was a bit bumpy, strap in. Because this one, we're going somewhere today. Bless you. I want to talk, the message is titled, The Trapdoor of Temptation. If you want to leave now, feel free. Exits are on my right, on my left. I want to start with this question. Has anyone ever planned to be overweight? Just a question. Second question. Do you know anyone who said, in 5 years, my goal is to be bankrupt? Can you imagine someone planning to be hooked on pornography? In fact, I've never met anyone who intentionally planned to wreck their life. But I've met many people whose lives are in trouble. Has anyone ever given in to temptation? Quick show of hands. This lady down the front here, how have you gone your whole life without doing that? Okay, I'll ask another question. This is a better question. Has anyone ever given in to temptation and regretted it?
Yeah.
Oh, now we've got everyone with us. So the question has to be, why did we give in? The answer is simple. Because we weren't prepared. Because we weren't prepared. The Bible teaches us about the power of preparation. The Bible talks a lot about temptation. We're going to unpack some of those verses later on. But the Bible also talks about the power of preparation when it comes to temptation. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Jesus is speaking. He says this, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." It's interesting, he says, you will not fall into temptation. What do you do in a trapdoor? You fall into it. You fall into temptation. The devil's plan for our lives is that we fall. We fall. Because when we fall, we're peaceless, we're powerless, and we're paralyzed. I want to teach us today how to plan and prepare for temptation. You think, well, that is a strange message to come to church to. I'll tell you why we're planning and preparing, because it's coming. Every one of us in the next 48 hours will be tempted. It will be small for some of you, it will be big for others. It will look like a cake in a cafe. For some, it will look like an internet site. For others, it could look like a phone number. It could look like so many different things, but we will be tempted in the next 48 hours. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, said this. He said, "Temptation is not a sin, it is a call to battle." It is a call to battle. And temptation, it runs throughout the whole of the Bible. In fact, the very first story of the Bible in Genesis of Adam and Eve is a story of temptation. Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba, Peter tempted three times to deny Jesus. Judas tempted to betray Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself was tempted on three different occasions. Temptation is something that runs all the way through Scripture. Now, if you take your notes, I want you to write this down. Christ took away our sins, but he did not take away our ability to be tempted. This is why he gave us the help of the Holy Spirit, who is self-control. So that means we're going to need a plan. The power of choosing ahead of time what we're going to do is one of the most powerful things we can ever do in our life, is choosing ahead of time. It's called the power of pre-decision. It's deciding what you're going to do when you need to decide what to do. It's called a pre-decision. That's a new word for some of you, a pre-decision. And pre-decisions are key to our decisions in life. We choose ahead of time what we're going to do in the moment, because the moment is coming. And the moment looks very different for me than it does to you. The moment is coming, so we have to choose ahead of time what we will do in the moment when the moment arrives. In other words, you beat temptation before you meet temptation. This is a real practical session today, okay? Whenever Chantel and I started Soul Church, we made a commitment. We would not talk just to your Sundays, but we would talk to your Mondays. Because all of you have to go to university, school, college, home, got to go and see the cat later. Every one of us, okay, goes back into reality. We don't live in this bubble called church. We get to be here for 90 minutes a week, or like a day like today, 3 or 4 hours. But it's a long one. So I want to share a 6-part battle plan to helping us, not you, us, avoid the trap of temptation. I want to share you 6 parts today. I believe they're going to help us. Number one, 6 plans. We've got to pre-decide that we know our enemy. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But John, how could the devil not like me? I am so sweet and kind. Everybody likes me. Don't kid yourself. There is an enemy out there and he hates you. He hates you. Why does he hate you? Because you're alive. He hates anything that's alive. And in fact, the devil studies you. Now, this is going to be a wake-up call for some of you. The devil studies you. He knows where you're weak, he knows where you're vulnerable, and he knows exactly how to take us down. The devil knows John Norman. He is subtle and he is crafty. And the devil will lure us in with very crafty ways. He uses advertising online to lure us into a website. He uses someone at work to pay us a compliment, to make us feel good about ourselves, and maybe to remind us what's not happening at home. Here's what I've realized. We're not as strong as we think we are. We're not as strong. We always think we can handle more than we can. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, if you think you're standing firm, be careful. Be careful that you do not fall. I think it's when we're overly confident that we can do things in our own strength, that's when we fall into temptation. I'll be fine, John, it's just one drink. How many times have I heard that? I'll be fine, it's just one night out. Just one night with the lads, I'll be fine. Nothing will happen. But the enemy knows you better than you know yourself. You convince yourself to buy the latest car magazine for the latest car advice, but deep down you know that there's some colorful pictures in that magazine. And I meet people like you do all the time who end up in a place in life they never thought they'd be because they thought they were strong enough. Studies tell us we give ourselves far too much credit when it comes to resisting temptation. We always confide it off, but what if we can't? Has anyone ever tried to resist the office birthday cake? You walk past it the first time, you're like, yep, didn't eat it. You walk past it the second time, whew. And you didn't eat it. You walk past it the third time. By the fourth time, it's in your hair. I mean, you're involved in this thing. Has anyone made good decisions all day long? And at the end of the day, you're like, what have I just done? You give in. Confession time. I'll need a glass of water first. Settle down, Chantel. I've been sugar-free all year so far. And 2 weeks ago, I was speaking in London. And I'd done a day's work, got on a train. Don't get your violins out, it's all right. And I went down and spoke. And I got back to my hotel. It was just before midnight. And I walked in. And the hotel had left two cookies by my bed. I mean, literally, talk about the devil knows me better than I know myself. I mean, who leaves cookies by your bed? And this is how bad it went. Oh, I'm not eating those cookies. I'm not eating those cookies. I'm not eating those cookies. I even scrubbed my teeth. And then just before I turned the midnight light out, one. You can't leave the other one alone. Two, in it went. Honestly, I'd walk past those cookies five times and then they literally jumped off the bedside table. Now, here's why we give in. You ready? Because it's called willpower. Willpower. Now, this is important. I want you to write this down. Willpower is a limited resource. This is so important because we're going to get onto why it's a limited resource. Willpower is a limited resource. Has anyone realized that you make your worst decisions sometimes late at night? President Roosevelt, the American president, said this, I will never make a major decision after 3 p.m. Because he said your body starts closing down. And what happens? We make our worst decisions at night and we fall through the trapdoor. You know, how many times have we woke up in the morning, so I'm going to exercise today, going to eat well, going to be nice to the world, going to read my Bible, going to take the dog for a walk. By 10 p.m., you're mad at the dog, eating ice cream in front of the TV. What happened? What happened between 7 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock at night? I'll tell you what happened. Willpower waned. We thought we were strong enough, but our enemy knows us better than we know ourselves. Don't ever try and argue with the devil. You'll lose every time. Now, our enemy is the same enemy. It's the devil, but he tempts us in different ways. I'm going to be totally vulnerable here. I'm going to tell you how the enemy tempts me. Because this obviously cookies, we know that, but he tempts you in the same way as that. This is what the enemy does to me every Monday. You don't need to read your Bible today, John. You deserve a rest. You work so hard yesterday. You preach so long. You preach so well. Have a rest from your Bible. Do you know that temptation's hit me for the last 10 years every Monday? You don't need to read your... You deserve a day off. Isn't the devil subtle? Isn't he so crafty? Because guess what? I'm like, you know, you're probably right. Probably deserve just some time away and just focus on my family. But who knows, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what I'm saying is the enemy knows me. My temptation may be very different to your temptation. But here's the thing. We've got the same devil. He knows us. He presents himself in different ways. Number one, we've got to pre-decide that we know our enemy. Number two, we've got to pre-decide our battle lines. Pre-decide our battle lines. Who knows that in any war you have battle lines? There are lines that you draw in the sand. And we've got to decide our battle line. So I'm gonna put down a battle line today. Here we go. There we go. An unstraight battle line. Now, this side of the line is God's will for our lives. Okay? This is the side that we honor God on. This is God's way. This is God's will. But the enemy wants us on the other side of the battle line. Because on the other side is the trapdoor. The other side is peaceless, powerless, and paralyzed. So what does the enemy try and do throughout the day? He tries to get us as close as we can to, wow, that looks good. That could be really fun. So what does he do? He tempts us. He pushes us. The challenges in life, do we have battle lines? Do you have battle lines in your life? Because the other side of that line is dangerous, because we're not in control of it. Whenever you are this side of the line, you are in God's word and you are in God's will. But the other side of the line, we can fall into the hole. But the enemy's goal throughout the day, for all of us, from 7 o'clock in the morning, when we wake up and we say to ourselves, we're gonna do things the right way, is the enemy is constantly dragging us towards the line. Is this hitting home with anyone, or is it just me? That's his goal. Does anyone else love to go up to the line? Chantel and I, we've been married 18 years today. She's a blessed girl. We met in Sydney, Australia. Many of you know our story. And pretty much from early on, we knew that we were meant for each other. But Chantel is beautiful on the inside and the outside. Who would agree? Yes. When you're 21 at college and you're dating such a beautiful girl, let me tell you on that line, brother. Trust me, I was on the line. I knew what God's word said. We don't have sex before marriage to protect us, to protect each other, protect our spiritual health, our sexual health, protect every area of life. We know what God's word said, but let me tell you, it was woo. I tell you, let me just reverse back to 1996. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was listening to a preacher called Ron Luce. was 18 years old, at a conference called Acquire the Fire. And that night, he challenged young people to save their virginity for the person that they were going to marry. And that night, I drew a line. I drew a line right there. Now, this is not to judge anyone who that did not happen for. That is, by the grace of God, we're all saved. But what I want to try and help us with tonight is we need battle lines in our lives, in our finances, when it comes to our workspaces, when it comes to our friendships and relationships, our health. We need battle lines. And so when I dated Chantel, let me tell you, it was not easy. In fact, it was really difficult. But it was a lot more easy to navigate the fact we had a line to navigate. And I want to encourage you, our battle lines might be different, but we need them in the areas we are weak. So I got a battle line in my life on a Monday. I make sure on a Monday I spend extra time in the scriptures. Because I know what the enemy wants. You deserve a day off. You deserve to relax. But I've got a battle line because I know my enemy. So the question is, we need battle lines in our lives. So I want to share some of our family battle lines. Some of our battle lines. This is one of our battle lines. Chantel and I, we have full access to each other's phones. It's a battle line. We don't keep secrets apart from Christmas. And then we lie for our back teeth. Chantel has full access to our finances. We go to bed with each other every night. In 18 years of marriage, probably on two hands, I can count the times where we have not gone to bed together if we're staying in the same house. It's not I do my thing at night, she does her thing. We're a married couple and we go to bed to each other. And the last thing we say to each other is we love her. We love each other. And let me tell you, sometimes that's hard. Because if you've had a rocky day and you've had a few little ding-dongs, it's hard. Sometimes it's like, I love you. And then she grunts it back. But we say it. Why do we say it? Because we've drawn up battle lines. Because I don't want to be here for 18 years. I want to be here for 50, 60 years, married to the same person, loving the same person, serving alongside. So you got to draw up a battle line. Do you want some more battle lines? These are just to help us. This isn't because we're better. Let me tell you, we got battle lines we still need to draw up. We don't travel alone with someone of the same, of a different sex. So we don't travel with it. That's just not what we do. We don't get in a car with someone. Because it's not that anything could happen. It's perceived. We don't put ourselves on the line. Oh, I'll just give you a lift from homework. I'll just give you a lift home from work, love. Is that really the best thing? Because what you're doing is you're skirting on the line. We're putting ourselves in a place, a position of temptation. We made a decision 3 years ago we weren't going to drink alcohol. Now, that's not based on theology. That's personal conviction. So all I'm saying is that's our line. Your line might be completely different to our line, but you need a line when it comes to alcohol. I'll go out and see what will be, whatever happened. Que sera, sera. I'm telling you what will happen. You might go over the line. So you need to know where your line is in these different areas of your life. Once you've drawn your line, you stick to your line. You don't allow peer pressure, friendship pressure to say, come on, just one more. No. You've drawn your battle line. In a war, the commander-in-chief, he draws the line and the soldiers have to keep to the line. And by the way, you don't just go to a bar to eat salted peanuts. You've got to know where your line is. We have to create some battle lines in our lives. Another battle line Chantel and I have created in our lives, and I've shared this one before, is we have never said the word divorce in our marriage in 18 years. We made a decision on the day we got married, there's two words we would never say, separation or divorce, because words have power. Has there been times where you feel like saying something? Of course. Of course. But we put the battle line in. Because The Bible says we're bound by the words of our mouth. So we draw the line and we play fair. These are the rules of the game. And we don't speak those words. And so if we live without lines, I find we live in regret. We live in regret. And for some of us today, I felt the Holy Spirit say, actually, you need to move your line. For some of you, you have got lines, but you've got to bring it in a little bit because your line's too far out. God is saying it's time to move the line in on certain things in your life. And I know this is hard hitting today, but as a church, we want to help people. We don't want to live in regret. Maybe you're spending too much time on Instagram. Maybe you got your report and you were 5 hours a day last week. Stay on Instagram, just bring your line in. Just bring your line in. Maybe the line for you might be go out and get some fresh air. Go for a walk, go meet some people in 3D. They're brilliant. Honestly, 3D people are fantastic. You know, for 15 years in Scripture, 15 years, we know nothing about Jesus. There are 15 years from when he was a young boy to when he entered ministry, we know nothing about Jesus. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 80, it's a long chapter, said this, and the child grew and became strong in character. This is talking about Jesus. And lived in the desert till the time came for him to appear publicly to Israel. 15 years. Do you know what I think Jesus was doing for 15 years? Building lines. Building lines. Because I knew, the Father God knew that the first thing that would happen to Jesus is he would be taken up into the desert and he would be what?
Tempted.
So Jesus says, I feel what you feel, and I had to draw up some battle lines. Young adult came up to me a few weeks ago in church and said, Pastor John, I don't know what God's called me to do. He's like, I'm 21 and I feel like I've missed my calling. I said, you've not missed anything. I said, just get some character. Just keep coming to church. Pay your bills on time. Help some people. Love people. Just build some lines in your life that you, when the time comes, that you're not going to go over. I think there's something so attractive about young adults, young people who build battle lines into their life. I'm just going to draw these battle lines. Well, Pastor John, you're spoiling all our fun. I don't think we are, because when I look at King David, he said this in Psalm 16, verse 6. Look at what he says. He says, the boundary, what? Have fallen for me in pleasant places, and now I have a delightful inheritance. From what I'm seeing from David's life, he put lines in his life and he messed up and he went over the line, but the grace of God brought him back over. But battle lines in our lives actually do not restrict us, they free us. I am the happiest I've ever been at 45. We're happily married, we are fulfilled. And it's not because, it's simply because we are keep putting battle lines in our lives. Number one, we've got to pre-decide we know our enemy. Number two, we pre-decide our battle lines. Number three, plan three, we pre-decide our battle toll. In any war, the commander-in-chief decides there could be a toll to pay. So every time we come, and this is critical to the message, every time we come face-to-face with temptation, however big or however small, we have to ask these two questions when we meet temptation. Number one, what could this cost me? What could this cost me? What could it cost me? My future. Could cost us our future. Jeremiah said, I know the thoughts and the plans I have towards you, saith the Lord. God has a unique plan for your life. But who knows, the plan is only as good as the person following it. So God presents us a plan, but we have to follow it. When we built this church, it had accurate scale drawings, but it was only as good as the builders who had to follow it. Does this mean if we mess up in our lives are over? It does not. Who's grateful for the grace of God? I'm grateful for the grace of God. But it does mean it can take us longer to get us to where God wants us. God's grace keeps us, but it's our obedience that keeps our life moving forward. It's obedience. What else is at stake? Others' futures. Who knows someone that's been affected by your decision? Well, let's put it this way. Who's ever been affected by somebody else's decision? It's true, hey? So someone went over the line. Someone went a bit too far, whatever area of their life it was. And who knows, it is costly, not just for yourself, but it affects others. It affects others. There's always a cost to pay when it comes to giving in to temptations. The choices we make today definitely affect the generations of tomorrow. I'm so grateful that my dad had battle lines in his life. They were battle lines. The fact that he had battle lines is the fact that I'm here today and the fact that my son is in church today because my dad had battle lines. He grew up in a home that had no battle lines, but when he came to be a follower of Christ, he put battle lines in his life and said, I'm not going to go over that line. Yeah. And so he modeled that for me, and I made a decision, we're not going to have those lines, and then our children. So these battle lines aren't just for us, they're for others. The second question is this, is it worth it? That's the second question we've got to ask ourselves. We pre-decide our battle time, and then we've got to ask ourselves, is this worth it? Let me read to us the most unpopular scripture in the Bible. Here it comes. Is it worth it? But if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord. Wait for it, this is really fun. Be sure that your sins will find you out. Isn't that wonderful? Let's all clap. Isn't that absolutely, liberating? I think there's more at stake than we realize. Do you know, I am one text message. I'm saying this carefully. I am one text message away from losing this whole thing. That's the world we live in right now. And so are you. This is why we need battle lines in our lives. We're one conversation, one text message, one night out, one moment away from losing everything. This is why I'm challenging us, and I said this would be easy today. We've got to pre-decide. We know our enemy. We know our battle lines. We know what's at stake with the toll. And number four, we've got to pre-decide our battle companions. If you're going off to fight in a battle, who wouldn't want to know who they're fighting beside? Where's Ollie Matthews? Just stand up, Ollie. I'll take you with me if we're going into battle for a few obvious reasons. Luke, you can come too, sit beside him. But we got to ask ourselves in this life where there's so much temptation around us, who's going to accompany us through the battle? Now I want to put a word on the screen, a word that we hear a lot, especially millennials and Gen Z, we use this word, influence. Influence. But the word influence has another word hidden in the middle. Flu. Why? Because influence works exactly the same way as the flu. You catch it. You catch it. Bad habits and good habits are not taught, they are caught. Of course we teach. I'm teaching today. Good habits, but it's no good me teaching good habits and driving out of here recklessly and speaking recklessly. And you can look at me thinking, well, it's all right teaching it, but you got to catch it. So if we hang out with people who gamble consistently, influence tells us we will catch it. We will catch it. If we hang out with people who consistently are getting drunk, we are going to catch it. So we have to pre-decide the companions that we're going to walk through life with. Battle companions. Got a few battle companions. One of my battle companions is Graham Hollinger. Are you in the room, Graham? His wife, Laura? Just he's around here somewhere. You won't be able to see him somewhere. But I've known Graham for 30 years, maybe a little bit longer. We went to Nigeria on missions together. We've been to Australia together, South Africa, America. We've traveled the world together. But here's what I've realized about Graham. We were playing football together this week. Graham loves me so much that when he sees me veering towards a line, he does this. He's done it his whole life. Come here, John. Shut up. Come here. If you've got a companion, say, go on, go do it. Have another one. Smoke it, drink it. Go around our house. They're pushing you. They are not your companions. They are not friends to your future. They are not friends to your destiny. You need people like Graham Holland who says, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to? Why don't we think about this in a different way? Get in the car, I'm driving you home. Joyce Pfeiffer, I don't know if she's in here, but she works here, she does all the incredible creative artwork you see around the place. She's an amazing, amazing colleague. But you know what? She's got the courage to stand up to me a lot. And she'll say this, she'll say, John, have you thought about that before you say it? Have you thought about how that could be perceived? Just come this way a little bit. Because I have the tendency to... But you got to have people at work, you got to have people in life who say, that's not going to work. I need you just to bring back the line. Now, this is why small groups are so critical for our journey. God wired us to need each other. I had a really good friend, not in this church, another part of the UK, called me 2 weeks ago. And he's a really safe friend. And he said this. He said, can I ask you a question, John? He said, where are you tempted the most? Random catch up. He said to me, where are you? We're sort of 10 minutes into God. I did not see that question coming. And it triggered this message. Where are you tempted the most? You all know what I want to say, don't you? It's between me and him. Because that's what safe spaces are for. So I shared it with him, and he said, do you know what? I'm exactly the same. And we prayed together, and we've helped each other. And it felt so good. Now, do you know the chances of us failing after we share a temptation reduce drastically? Now, the Bible says this. It says if we confess our sins one to another, he's faithful to forgive us, and that is 100%. But if we confessed, just come with me here. If we confessed our temptations to one another, there would be far less need to confess our sins to one another. Think about that. Because temptation is not a sin. It's a call to battle. Imagine if we had people say, you know, I'm really struggling. And they said, you know what, let me pray for you. And then we kept each other accountable. I wonder whether when the enemy attacks, he always goes after the lone ranger first. You think of a predator. What does the predator do? He never goes after the pack. He goes for the sheep on the edge of the pen. Small groups. They are not a ministry of Soul Church. They are the church. They are the church. This is the church. We gather on a Sunday corporately, together, but midweek, we need each other. If you are not in a small group, can I encourage you, hop online, find one. If you don't have one, speak to someone. But every one of us needs community in a small group. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the time. We've got to pre-decide our enemy, our battle lines, our battle toll, our battle companions. Our battle, plan number 5, just 2 more. We've got to pre-decide our battle confessions. Jesus is led up by the Spirit into the wilderness after those 15 silent years to be tempted by the devil. The Bible says for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How does Jesus throw off the enemy's temptations? By confessing God's word. He uses these three words, it is written. Some of us see the Bible as a nice little book to encourage us. Do you know that the Bible is actually a weapon against temptation? It is a sword. Without doubt, and I'm speaking from experience, without doubt, the single most effective tool to combating temptation is Scripture. It's definitely not willpower, because willpower wanes. But God's word is eternal. Psalm 50:15 says, call to me when trouble comes, and I will save you. Call to me. God, help me. I'm struggling. God, I need your help. I want to encourage us as a church. If we have no scriptures memorized, we got no bullets in the gun. Because when the enemy comes, the thing he hates the most is God's word. Jesus spoke to the enemy. He said, it is written. When the devil comes, he is not afraid of our opinions. He's afraid of the truth. The devil hates the truth. And the word of God is a sword. The word of God is not just man's opinion, it's God's truth. And it makes Satan mad. Verse 11 says this. It said, after he said it is written three times, he says, and then the devil left him. When we're on the verge of giving into temptation, do I or don't I? When we're standing on the line, do I cross it? Do I call her? Do I call him? Do I text them? And you know it could open a door that could lead to powerless, paralyzed, and peaceless life. You've got to have a loaded gun with God's word and say, God, right now I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I am giving you the strength right now to overcome the world. You've got to speak God's word. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in him who loves me. You've got to have the word of God. So when temptation comes, when you're standing on the line, you can begin to speak God's word into the atmosphere. You speak God's word into that temptation. Got to pre-decide. We know our enemy, our battle lines, our battle toll, our battle companions, our battle confessions. Number six, and finally, we've got to pre-decide our battle position. We've got to know our position in Christ. The solution to temptation, sinful desires and thoughts is found in the very first verse of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're going to experience temptations, sinful thoughts from time to time. But in the midst of those temptations, we need to remind ourselves, and someone needs to hear this today, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Just put that verse back up one sec. It says, therefore now. Notice the word now, right now. Right in this moment now. In fact, you could have even had a lustful thought, a sinful thought, even in this message. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus right now. It's right now that God's grace is sufficient for us. Does that mean we can just sit back and entertain sinful thoughts, lustful thoughts? Of course not. But sin cannot take root in a person who is fully conscious in the righteousness of God. It cannot take root in your life if you are fully conscious. Do I have bad thoughts, evil thoughts, lustful thoughts? Of course I do. I'm human. But I will not allow it to take root and push me over the line, because I know who I am in Christ. I take up my rightful position in Christ, that there is therefore now, right now. So when you quote that scripture, therefore is now. It's in that moment, God says, there is no condemnation. You know, you cannot stop birds from flying over your head. You can't do it. They do their thing and you cannot stop them. But one thing you can do is you can stop a bird building a nest in your head. And I believe there will always be temptations coming over our heads. There'll always be temptations coming towards our minds and coming towards our lives. But we can make a decision today. We're gonna draw some lines. We're gonna choose our battle companions. We're gonna choose our battle confessions. We're gonna put on the mind of Christ. And when those lustful thoughts come and those temptations come, we make a decision. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Come on, is anyone free today? The power of Jesus to overcome any temptation kicks in the moment we remember that we are his children. We are Christ conscious. Acts 17:28, for in him we live, for in him we move, and in him we have our being. We live from a position that we are Christ conscious, not sin conscious. Church, this is our battle plan this week. This is our battle plan to overcome the trapdoor of temptation. Know our enemy, draw our lines, remember the toll, there's a price to pay. Choose your companions carefully, speak and confess the word of God, and remind yourself who you are in Christ. This is the overcoming life in Christ. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands? If you're watching at home and safe to do so, why don't you lift your hands as well, wherever you are? We're going to invite the Holy Spirit right now to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who would be brave enough today to say, God, I need some help in some of these areas of my weaknesses? My hands up. You say, God, I just need some help in some of these areas. Sometimes I keep going over that line and wake up and I really don't want to, but oh God, I just need your help. So for some of us, we're going, God, I need to actually move the line. I need to move my line a little bit closer to what your word says. Maybe that's something that's going to happen slowly and progressively, but it's going to happen. For others of you, God, I need some good people around me. I'm struggling because all the people, my companions, they keep pushing me towards the line. But God, I need some people who are courageous enough, brave enough just to bring me back a little bit. God, I need to be part of a group. I need some help. For some of us, we need to start loading the gun with God's word, declaring his word into the atmosphere when temptation comes, because God's word is a weapon. For all of us, we need to remind ourselves daily and our position in Christ. And the position is, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Some of you, God is setting you free right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, right now, I pray that you would set people free. Set people free, not with self-help, not with motivation, not with trying to do it in our own willpower, our own strength, but your word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And it is only you that can release us from pornography. It is only you that can release us, Father, from addiction. It is only you that can release us, Father God, from these relationships, Father, that are pulling us back. So I speak freedom over the church, freedom over every individual. Lord, I pray that we would draw up our battle lines. I pray we would speak the word of God. Start strong, but by the end of the day we can give up because we don't have enough willpower. But Lord, in our weakness your word says that you are strong, so that when we wane you remain strong, when we can't do it anymore you remain there. And Lord, I pray for every single person in this room, because we're all faced with temptation and it arrives in all different shapes and sizes, yet you remain the same. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are strong. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this week, not to try and get through another week just battling through in our own fight and our own strength, Father, but we would put on the mind of Christ this week. Lord, we would recognize that there is an enemy out there. And Lord, his plan is not good, but your plan is good. And we make a commitment to following your plan. We draw up battle lines. If you were challenged by that piece of masking tape on the floor, you say, I need to draw up some battle lines. Well, I want you to lift up your hand right now. Whether putting lines in or moving them, I just really felt that God is going to use that this week to put some lines in people's lives. We draw up those lines, Father God. Father, I pray for those who are lonely, who feel like they're going through this fight alone, that you would help people, bring them in strong companions, people who are brave enough to challenge them, people who are brave enough to bring that line back and help them and support them. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that in him we live, we move, and we have our being this week. And we live from a position of being Christ conscious, not sin conscious. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to pray for one more group of people today. You say, John, well, that sounds good if you know Jesus. But I know for many of you, maybe you don't know Jesus. And maybe you've been going through life trying to navigate these lines and temptations and some of the things that the challenges of life throw us, but you've been doing it in willpower, self-strength, self-help, and you keep failing. You see, we were never designed to go through life on our own. We were created to go through life with Jesus. So when we are weak, we have strength to pull from. We can be alone, we can be at work, we can be in the car and we feel like we're being tempted, we can feel so many things coming at us and we can literally just say, God, I need your help. And the Bible says he is an ever-present help in time of need. And God is here for you today. He loves you. Chantel already read it at the start of the service, but for God so loved the world, he gave his son, Jesus, that whosoever, which is you and I, believes in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. God's got a plan for you. For some of you, I know life's been really difficult. Maybe you were let down by a family friend, a parent, a teacher. You've gone through life feeling alone. That was never God's plan. He wants to draw alongside you and tell you that you're going to make it. He wants to be your best friend. He will never leave you or forsake you. And in the moment of your weakness, he will always remain strong. So I want to give you the opportunity today to receive his love, receive his forgiveness, give you a brand new start as you open up your heart to him. I'm going to ask every Christian just to quietly pray right now, because we're praying for you. From the front to the back, upon the tiered seat and on the floor, those who are watching online, this is an opportunity right now to receive his love, his forgiveness, strength for today and hope for tomorrow. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, all I want you to do is just slip up your hand long enough and high enough so I can see it. John, pray for me. Pray for me. I need Jesus all over this room. One, he loves you. Two, have the courage right now just to slip up your hand and say, I need him. I need you, Jesus. Three, just lift it up nice and high. Pray for me. God bless you. 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 Just keep it up nice and high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good on you. God bless you. Here's what I want you to do. This is going to take a little bit of courage, but I would love you. I want to pray for you personally. So I'd love you just to come, step away from your seat. You can bring a friend, bring a colleague, bring a spouse, whoever's with. Would you come and let me pray for you down the front? And we're going to cheer you on as you say this prayer. So come on, leave your seat. Bring your friend right now. Just step away. That's it. You come. You come. Come to Jesus. Come to his grace. Every day you've ever lived and every day you will live, and he loves you. He created you, and it's no accident you're here today. God planned this moment. He planned it, and right now he wants you to know how much he loves you. Despite, just like me, despite the times we went over the line, we tried to do it our own way, God says, no, I still love you. You see, this is the incredible thing about God. You can't fall out of his grace, you only fall into it. So when you go over the line and you mess up, guess what God says? I'll still catch you. Humanity doesn't do that. It pushes you away. It says, you messed up, I don't want you. But God says, no, I'll still have you. I loved you. So today, we're all caught up in his grace. We're going to say this prayer. It's going to come up on the screen in front of you. And I want to love you just to repeat it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me, to forgive all my sin and failures. I believe that you rose from the dead so that I can have a brand new life. Please come into my heart and help me by the power of the Holy Spirit to trust and to live for you. Amen. Amen. Would you congratulate every one of these individuals? And we've got a gift for you. It's the Gospel of Mark. And we want to help you because this isn't the end. This is a new beginning for you. And so we've got a little quiet chapel there, and we're going to give you a Bible, and the team are just going to let you know about the next steps, going to let you know about baptisms next Sunday evening, which is going to be really exciting because some of you are going to get baptized, and you think, oh my word, that's a lot. But let me tell you, baptism is just like going, I'm going to go into the water. It's christening basically for grown-ups. Where you go into the water and you leave your old life, your habits, everything that was this side of the line, you go, I'm going to leave that. And when I come up, I'm this side of the line. And it's the most exciting adventure ever. And you just literally let go of the old and you hold on to the new. And so this is Annie. She's amazing. Give us a wave, Annie. And so if you just follow Annie, you're going to head into the chapel and you're going to come straight back into the service. Would you give them a huge cheer as they head out? Incredible. Come on, let's worship Jesus.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @SoulChurchUK. Take care and God bless.